But then we see a strange thing, you would think. But Jesus, being left, being there with these vast crowds, he sent his closest allies and friends away. He sends them into the boat to cross to the other side. Now, no doubt they resisted. No doubt they didn't really want to leave him there in that place alone. But nonetheless, they obeyed. They got in the boat and set sail. Why did Jesus do this? Well, most commentators seem to think that it was because Jesus was concerned for them, that they would be sucked into the mindset of those thousands of people that were there, that would just see him merely for his miracle's sake, and get sucked in to the idea that he should be their king, their earthly king. So Jesus was saving them from great error and from great danger. And yet he sends them into that boat, knowingly, into a storm. He sends them into a storm to get them out of danger. That's just a side note, really, but this is just an amazing thing. So often when we go through storms in our lives, it may be that God is protecting us from something far, far more dangerous. So anyway, Jesus sent them away. They're being obedient to him. And they're crossing the sea. And Jesus sends the multitudes away. We don't know how he did this, but he sends them away. And he goes up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, no doubt for his disciples, he could see them in the distance. And a storm had blown up. And he saw that they were struggling. And yet he stayed until the fourth watch of the night. Notice their obedience. Now these were skillful sailors, hardened sailors. They could have quite easily probably turned around when they saw a storm coming up. They were clever enough to know when a storm was coming. They could have turned around and gone back, but no. They were being obedient. And through their obedience, they were in a storm. And they continued to strive for the other side. And so, they were trying and trying. No doubt rowing because the storm was so bad, the sails did not work. They were tired. It had been a long day and a long night. And I think the impression in this passage shows us that they were at their wits' end. They were fearing for their lives. And as they come to their end, Jesus comes to them, walking on the water. Jesus shows care for them, in that when they were at their weakest, Jesus came and showed himself to them. And immediately, when they cried out for fear, immediately, Jesus called to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer." And so, Jesus has come. Jesus has come to them. And Peter, being the type of man he was, cried out to him, "Lord, if it is you, if it is you, call me onto the water to come to you." So Peter got out as soon as he was commanded by Jesus, "Come." He obeyed and got out. But then we know that grave mistake he made. He saw the waves. He saw the wind. And he began to sink. He was afraid. But thank God that Jesus was there, close by, to lift him back up. So we see this great event. And really, this event really isn't really about Peter, is it? It's about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see his power over everything in nature. The picture of a man walking on water, apparently, for the Egyptians, was a picture of the impossible. They actually had these pictures of men walking on water to show the impossible. And yet Jesus here was doing the impossible. And not only Jesus, but Jesus was making one of his disciples do the impossible. But I was well aware whilst I was looking into this passage that this series, we're really focusing in our minds on Peter. And yes, how he relates with Jesus, how he walks with Jesus, how he follows him, and how we can learn from his life. So I just want to see that fatal mistake he made. Now, we must just have the backdrop in our minds, and you might remember when I preached, I had a point on this, of Peter's amazing faith. We can't diss Peter here. Peter had faith that I can only imagine. In a stormy sea, in the dark, when he was afraid for his life and he was tired, he chose to step out of the boat where he was safe, to walk on water, which is impossible, to walk to his Saviour. Now this is an immense faith. So we mustn't down Peter for this. But at the same time, we do see a great flaw and a big mistake. So I just want to look at this mistake as practically as I possibly can, how we can make the same mistake, when we're likely to make this same mistake, and what the solution is to prevent us from making this mistake. So how do we make this mistake? We see Peter doubted. He turned his eyes away from Jesus and saw the sea and the storm around him. So firstly, I think we can see from this narrative that Peter had forgotten that Jesus had enabled him to walk thus far. Peter had already walked on the water. The storm was raging then. The water was still water then. He was still the same man. Jesus had helped him walk so far. But Peter forgot that. Peter completely forgot where Jesus had brought him from and to. Notice how Peter was closer to Jesus now than when he was in the boat. You will be closer now, or you should be closer now, to the Lord Jesus Christ than when you first took that step of faith in following him. Don't forget where Jesus has led you so far. In 1 Samuel we see him saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped me." And so we can remember as he erected that rock and said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So we can say, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." We can remember that. But also we can look at the bad things around us, can't we? Maybe in our own lives or maybe in the world. We see the storms going on, literal storms. If we think of the ones in America, we wonder at these things. Or we see at the political turmoil, the crisis that's going on. And we look at these things and we fear. And we worry. we're looking only to these things. We're looking to humans. We're looking to people to solve the problems. We're seeing nature at its most powerful with the tornadoes and all these big storms. And we think, how can we cope? We look at the bad things around us, and maybe we then look at the things going on in our own life. The things that are worrying us, things about work, things about family, things about health. And then we start looking to our own strength. We say, how can I do this? Maybe we're struck with bad news. And we wonder, how can I, in my strength, cope with this? Or even, we may be trying to embark on some work for the Lord. We think of the fact that some of us have already gone out and we're planning on going out on Saturday to do something quite new for some of us. Something very daunting and scary. Do we look to our own strength? I think Peter made that mistake here. He saw the storms around him and thought, this is impossible. How can I do this? And he began to sink. And finally, I think we fail to see that Jesus has everything under his feet. We see here that Jesus had this very stormy sea under his feet. The one thing that's impossible to have under our feet, to be firm under our feet. And yet Jesus, the Lord of all, the Creator of the world, had that under his feet. And he has every storm in our life under his feet. And he enabled Peter to have those very storms under his feet whilst he was looking to Jesus. And there are other things that no doubt you can think of right now. Probably things in your own life. Things that you know where you are doubting. Where you are prone to look to yourself or look to other people. So, as Peter, we're no different to him. These are important things to think about. Examine your own mind, examine your own heart tonight, where you may be doing this. You can be on guard for these same mistakes. It's to know what kind of scenario this is likely to happen in. When are we prone to do this? When are we prone to make this same mistake? And I think the obvious one, as seen in this passage, the obvious time when we're prone to do this, to take our eyes off of Jesus, is when things seem to just be falling apart. Our life just seems to be falling apart. Everything is going wrong. We see sickness come to our life. Or that job has been providing for your family is taken away from you. These things, when bad things happen to us, so often we forget Jesus. We forget looking to him. We start doubting. We start doubting God. We start doubting ourselves, our strength in God's help. So, when those bad things happen, when those times inevitably arise, beware. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. But secondly, I think when we are struggling with sin, we all have sin in our hearts. There's no one here, not even the most godly saint here, can put their hands up and say, I'm without sin. We're all in the same battle. Okay, some of us have different sins that we're prone to than others. Some of us have different battles that we're waging. But we all have sin. And so often when that same sin besets us time and time and time again, we start looking to our own strength. And then it's a vicious circle, isn't it? We look to our own strength because we've been failing. And we can't do it in our own strength, so then we fail some more. No. Look to Jesus, who has put everything under his feet. And in his strength, in his power, we can do the same. We are dead to sin. Okay, we do have those battles. We do have those sins that we do time and again, but we don't need to. In Jesus' strength, through what he has done for us, given us new life, making us dead to sin, we can overcome it. But also, when the work that God has given us gets hard, when the work God has given us gets really hard, and I think all of us that have sought to serve the Lord in any capacity has known this at some stage or other. Whether that be running kick club. Many times we think of a number of years back, and one or two years in particular that were so hard, so difficult. A group of children that were so rebellious and so difficult. And those times we can be prone to doubt and start looking at ourselves, to start looking at the difficulties that we're in and start to drown, to start to sink, to fail. Maybe when you go out Saturday, if you're going, you may knock on a few doors on the trot and get negative comment after negative comment, hostile attitude after hostile attitude. Will you carry on? Will you stop, pray, look to the Lord Jesus Christ for help? Or will you just look at the situation and doubt and sin? Sometimes we're called to do things that we see are impossible. And humanly they may be. For you as a person, speaking up for the Lord is impossible. You may be a very shy person, a very quiet person, someone who absolutely hates conversation, who hates an argument. And yet there's that opportunity that the Lord has given you where someone is talking about in a way that you don't like. Or when someone questions you, what do you think about them? You may think it's impossible. But look here. Walking on water, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. But also, prone to do this, and this is one that may come as a surprise to us. Certainly came as a bit of a surprise to me, I think. In that we can be prone to do this when our hearts are hardened, goodness. That might sound strange. What I mean mean is when we become familiar with what Jesus has done, we forget exactly who he is. We forget how powerful he is. See in the same account in Mark chapter 6, we see at the end of that chapter, in verse 52, they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. This is the disciples. This is his 12 closest friends. Those who actually partook in the miracle. The ones that saw him there healing the sick. The ones that saw him there feeding the hungry. The ones who had compassion on them. And yet their hearts were hardened. They'd seen him, no doubt they'd seen him do many, many miracles. They'd heard him speak many kind words and shown love to many people. And yet through their familiarity with him, their hearts were hardened. They did not see who he really was and forgot who he really was. They did not understand who Jesus was by the feeding of those thousands of people. And so with us, we can go through our lives and maybe we can recount wonderful times of blessing. Wonderful things that Jesus has done for us. Working things together for our good. We can see how he's worked things together for the good of his church. Or for the good of those who we love. And who love him. And yet we see this so often. Sometimes we can forget who Jesus really is. He's the Almighty God. The one who has put everything under his feet. And the one that is able to bear you up. To do anything he asks you to. So these are the times when we can be prone to this. We've seen how we can do the same so often. When we are prone to this. I hope you've understood how important it is to look at our lives, to be forewarned of this, so that we need not make the same mistake. But what is the solution? It's not all negative tonight. What is the solution? And the solution is simple, isn't it? Look to Jesus. We see Peter there all the time. He's looking to Jesus, the one who had called him to walk. He was walking. But as soon as he looked at the world around him, the storm raging, the impossible thing he was doing, he began to sink. Look to Jesus. And that means in the good times, don't get complacent. Don't get complacent. Don't start thinking, well, I'm doing this okay. Oh, this is fine, isn't it? I'm walking on water. Don't start looking to yourself. Don't start getting complacent. Continue to remember who Jesus is. Your Lord and Saviour. The one who has called you. And the one who will keep you. Have in your mind that verse in Mark. That their hearts were hardened and they did not understand. Don't let that be you. But then also in the bad times, don't get worried and don't get scared. Jesus is in control. Our Saviour, the one who loved his disciples so much that he came to them on the water. He could have stilled the sea from where he was. He had no need to go to them. And yet, he went to them. And he will come to you personally and call you to himself, call you to follow him. I think it's amazing, Peter, the same man who began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me," wrote these words, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And I think Peter really knew this himself. He saw Jesus caring for him, coming to him that night in the storm, not leaving them alone, but coming to him. And when he was sinking, he was there to lift him up. You think of David, who said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And then he goes to Goliath and says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel." This is our God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So how practically can we do this? How practically can we keep our eyes set upon our beautiful Saviour? Well, firstly, prayer. Prayer. Don't forget to pray. We see, just a side note here, many times when Jesus did these wonderful things, it was straight after prayer. Prayer to his Father, who gave him the power to do the work that God had given him to do. Don't forget prayer. Pray to him. And I often think when we pray, we can't but think about him. Think about him, what he's done for you. Thank him for what he's done for you that day. Praise him for who he is. Set our minds upon him and pray to him. And secondly, the reading of God's word. Don't forget the reading of God's word. It was Jesus' word to them that comforted them. It was Jesus' word to Peter that brought him out of that boat to him. Read God's word. See who our God is. Understand who he is. And also, I've mentioned it already, but remember what Jesus has done for you already. No matter how long you've been saved, you have a past. You can look back on those days, weeks, months, years, decades, and see the way the Lord has helped you walk, who's upheld you. You wouldn't have been able to do it without him. And he will continue to. And he will take you safely home. And also we can see how he has helped others. Read good books. Good biographies and autobiographies of how the Lord has helped his people do wonderful things in his name. Just finally, a couple of verses then. We see in answer to prayer, this shows just the importance of prayer really, in John 14 and verse 12. "He who believes in me, the works I will do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do." And this is in answer to prayer. He who believes in me will do these works. Through Christ, all of us who believe in him, through him, we can do wonderful things in his strength. And then a great confession by Joseph in Genesis 50. "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Boy, did he go through some storms, some challenges in his life. And yet he constantly was looking to his God, who strengthened him, who enabled him to overcome sin, who enabled him to flee away from sin, who enabled him to be joyful in the midst of sorrow. And yet he confessed that God has meant it for good. Everything we go through, no matter how bad we see it, that verse is true. God means it for our good. Whether that be for our good, so that we come closer to him. Whether that be for our good, so that our witness through that time may be a wonderful one for his glory. Or whether that be for our good, that final trial will take us home to be with him. No matter what happens, it's for our good. Just remember how loving our Saviour was. He cares for you, and he will come to you when you call upon him.